With 2 weeks to go before the election, we're asking a simple question. What makes a good leader? We could measure the candidates based on politics and past performance. This week, though, we're taking a different view of that question through the prism of science. NPR science correspondent John Hamilton often looks at things from an evolutionary point of view, and he found that American voters could learn a thing or two about picking leaders by studying fish or chimpanzees or elephants.
It's called the animal kingdom, but Ian Cousin of Princeton University says most animals live in something closer to a democracy.
One common property we see in animal groups, from schooling fish to flocking birds to primate groups, is that they effectively vote to decide where to go and what to do.
When one fish heads for a potential source of food, the other fish vote with their fins on whether to follow. Cousin says his research shows that this highly democratic process helps groups of animals make better decisions than any one member of the group could. He says it also shows that successful animal leaders know that they can't get too far ahead of their constituents.
They seem to simply reconcile their own goal-oriented behavior, you know, I want to move over there, with this local tendency to align with others. Because if you don't tend to be influenced by others, you then leave the group behind and you may get eaten by predators or you lose the benefits of group living.
Cousin says these sorts of findings in animals should be of interest to human leaders because we humans carry a lot of evolutionary baggage with us into the voting booth. He says when it comes to leadership, people are especially similar to animals that live in groups and depend on cooperation to survive. And these groups tend to pick cooperative leaders. So what about the idea that it's just the biggest or strongest animal in a group that calls the shots? Mark van Vught, an evolutionary psychologist from the VU University in Amsterdam, says it's rarely that simple. Take chimps, for example.
In chimpanzees, it's not necessarily the physically strongest individual who seizes the control over the group, who becomes the alpha. It's usually the more cunning individual, someone who forms his coalitions well and picks a partner who together with him they can overthrow the alpha.
Van Vught says animal leadership also demonstrates how groups choose different leaders for different situations. In elephants, the de facto leader is usually the oldest female, but Van Vught says that can change.
When the group is being attacked, it may not be the oldest female who takes control. It might be like one of the dominant male members, if you like. But when it comes to knowledge problems, and particularly where to find water, they then turn to the oldest female.
Van Vught says some animal leaders have traits we wish all human leaders had, like unfailing honesty. He says honeybees are a good example. Their scouts lead by finding a food source and then communicating the location to other bees through something called a waggle dance.
The interesting thing about it is in the signaling of the scout bees, there is no deception whatsoever. I mean, they want to do what is best for the hive. And I think that is a little bit dissimilar to humans.
Or chimps, whose leaders are often accomplished liars. Ian Cousin of Princeton says one way animals and people are clearly alike is that both are capable of choosing a bad leader.
It's not necessarily the most talented or intelligent individual that ends up in a leadership position. There can be this temporary sort of rise of power of an individual.
Temporary because bad leadership doesn't tend to last too long.
Typically in animals, if this person doesn't have substance behind what they're saying, then they will end up losing out in the longer term.
And animals don't wait for the next election to find a better choice. John Hamilton, NPR News.
This is NPR News.